great pleasure to welcome to UCB Andrew Boyd from Release International. Now, Andrew, can you just paint us a brief picture of the relationship between North and South Korea from kind of the beginning of this year?
What's happening between the North and the South is very good news. It's extremely encouraging. It's encouraging for those who live in the North and who live in the South. And there's obviously a move on the part, particularly within the South, to try to extend a hand of friendship towards the North. They're talking about jointly hosting the Olympic Games, for example. We saw a joint team for the last set of Olympic Games, and that was seen as a great success in terms of wanting to reach out to the nations. So there is a move of soft diplomacy from south to north and from north to south, which is very, very much to be welcomed. But all of this has to be set against two wider contexts. The most immediate one is the nuclear missile crisis that's taking place within North Korea. North Korea has a nuclear missile program. The US is imposing sanctions to prevent it, and sanctions have ratcheted up today, actually not directly to do with the missile program, but over the issue of human rights, and that's to be welcomed. So you've got something going on here with the world stage where Donald Trump is trying to denuclearize North Korea, and North Korea is very pleased to be seen on the world stage with Donald Trump. There's diplomacy taking place there. There's also a hard diplomacy behind the scenes. One, to get rid of the nuclear arsenal. Two, and much to be welcomed, and Release International would welcome it, the bringing into this whole issue the one of human rights, because North Korea has for many years now been probably the worst place in the world to be a Christian. It's a really difficult place. It's very, very aggressive towards Christians. It puts them in, this is hard to believe, but it puts them in death camps which have been likened to concentration camps. So it is a country where there is no freedom of belief, no freedom of religion whatsoever. And one of the things we were concerned about at the last meeting with Donald Trump was that human rights was not raised on the agenda. Well, now they're back on the agenda. The US has imposed further sanctions on North Korea. So you have two kinds of diplomacy going on. One is the hard diplomacy of sanctions. The other one is the soft diplomacy of engagement that's taking place within South Korea. There's a lot of pressure being put on Kim Jong-un at the moment.
So you've talked about the diplomacy that's been happening across over the last year. But can you tell us, what were relationships like between the North and the South at the beginning of 2018?
We need to remember that both countries are still technically in a state of war. So they can't be in some ways much worse. North Korea has a colossal army. The two capitals are not very far from one another. There is enormous risk, enormous tension, and there has been for years. This has been going on for a very long time. And we're talking about the kind of conflict which in the past has drawn in China. It's drawn in the United States. It's not a place where you would want to have a superpower confrontation. So it has been extremely difficult. And in terms of what it's like for those who try to get out of the country, those who try to defect and make their way to South Korea, they find a very different country from the North, those who make it, and there's a lot who don't. They find a country which is in every sense different from their own and not always welcoming to defectors. So there are two parts of one peninsula, one area within the world which have grown very much apart, and these moves to demonstrate some kind of solidarity, some kind of hope for the future are very much to be welcomed. But you need the hard diplomacy too.
And do you know why North Korea is so closed off from the rest of the world?
You have a nation which is ruled absolutely by its emperors, if I can use that phrase, where a form of emperor worship is mandated. You have to have portraits of the Kims in your house if you're found reading a Bible or observing any kind of higher form of authority, and that could be the Christian faith, then you're regarded as an enemy of the state. It's been called the hermit nation, and there's a reason for that. It's absolutely totalitarian within its grip on its own citizens. There is not freedom. It's a place where starvation has ruled. That's not so bad now, but it's not so good either. It's a very, very hard place to live, and many people want to get away from there. It's a country where if you wish to leave it, you risk being shot on sight. You risk having to go through China and being involved in human trafficking. That's what happens to a lot of people. And yet there is a stream of people who are desperate to leave that nation because it has become so isolated. So any move to extend a hand to it, and also to extend words of correction to it, hard to deliver and hard for them to receive, but those moves are to be welcomed, because North Korea is, if you just imagine the Soviet Union at the height of the Cold War, and then times that by 10, that's what you've got out there.
Now, there were two significant meetings this year, one in April when the two Koreas, the Koreas' two leaders met, and that was a significant meeting, and they agreed to find a way to end the Korean War and said they would denuclearize the peninsula. And then in June, Mr. Trump, the US president, became the first sitting president to meet a North Korean leader. And at that time of the meeting, Mr. Kim reiterated his commitment to denuclearization. What has happened since these historic meetings?
Not very much in many ways. Today's news is that North Korea is threatening to return to, and I'm quoting them, exchanges of fire over the US sanctions. North Korea is warning that these latest sanctions by the US could force a return to exchanges of fire and block the path to nuclear disarmament forever. Well, that's the kind of heady rhetoric that tends to come out of North Korea. There have been some gestures made to show the breaking up of a nuclear site. But if we look at the kind of psychology behind this, we're talking about Kim Jong-un, who, following in his father's footsteps, wants to assert his presence on the world stage. So there are two things at play here. One is the fear of alienating permanently the US president, who Donald Trump, unlike any other president before, has actually reached out in public to Kim Jong-un. That's propelled him to the world stage. So there's a fear of that. And if you look at the way this is being reported in the US press, the rhetoric is quite different from that that's appearing in the Telegraph in the UK. They're saying that he's scared of losing his place on the world platform and alienating Donald Trump. So North Korea is taking care not to attack Trump at the moment, but it is attacking the sanctions. So you've got all of that going on. You've got the desire to be seen as somebody, a major player on the world stage for a tiny, backward hermit nation, which they are reluctant to lose. But of course, part of that power play is the fact that they have, arguably, nuclear weapons. The bigger issue here is that you might not persuade them to lay down their nuclear weapons, but that isn't bringing a state of peace to North Korea. How can there be a state of peace when so many of its citizens face the threat of extinction? And that is the fate of Christians in North Korea. These are people who've been living on a knife edge for 70 years. So we must look wider than just calming the situation down and look for a change within the country that permits true and lasting peace from within that country. And that's peace and freedom for its own citizens. It's a bigger goal.
Now, we know it's a closed state, but do we have any idea if these diplomatic meetings this year had or made any positive impact on the citizens of North Korea?
I'm not sure that it's going to make any difference at all to the citizens of North Korea, but what we do see is that Kim Jong-un is now putting most of his time internationally in focusing on diplomacy and the economy of the country. We need to recognize that the economy of North Korea has been severely hit. It was a bad economy to start with, and it's been very, very badly hit indeed by sanctions. Unfortunately, that's always the problem with sanctions. It's the leaders you want to change their minds, but it's the ordinary people that are hit and affected by sanctions. So it's the whole carrot and stick diplomacy thing that goes on here. You punish and you you encourage, you need to do both. And certainly the sanctions have had an effect. And when you look at what Kim is now focused upon doing, which is majoring on diplomacy and the economy, there's a suggestion that it may actually be affecting his outlook and his policy too. But without the carrot of the handshakes on the world stage with the world leaders, this might not have happened.
So you've talked about these fresh sanctions that have been imposed on North Korea this month by the US. But what are the diplomatic expectations for the year ahead?
What are our hopes for the coming year? I think it's the grit and the oyster, all of this. You know, the Bible tells us that when we face trials and tribulations, we need to count it all joy. And it doesn't say that lightly. It sounds trite, but it isn't. It's the grit in the oyster because there is such trouble, such distress for North Korean Christians. And the fact that North Korea is now constantly in the news with a sense of threat towards the West, particularly the US, but a sense of jeopardy. Now, that sounds like really bad news, but it could also be the spur that we need to pray. So North Korea has been a country of concern for Release International for many years. It tops our list of the worst places in the world to be a Christian. But what we can do with it is whenever we hear North Korea mentioned, for good or for ill, in the media, we can turn our attention to praying. And the prayers of the North Koreans are not for regime change. They're not for removing their leaders. Quite the contrary, actually. They're for the conversion of their leaders, therefore the souls of their leaders. They pray for their leaders, which Paul tells us to do in the book of Romans in a time of Nero. Pray for those in authority, not against them. So where we get the name of North Korea, let's pray for Kim Jong-un and his regime. You take him away and you'll probably get worse. But let's also pray for the Christians of North Korea who are facing such desperate persecution. If a Christian offends, it's not just that person that goes to a camp and maybe worked to death. It's three generations. It's the parents, it's the children. There is a move to exterminate Christians within North Korea. It's a very cold place for Christians to be. So when you feel a chill of cold air when you think of the name of North Korea, pray for the Christians, because there can't be lasting international peace without there being real peace within the nation itself. And that needs to begin with religious freedom.
Finally, Andrew, would you lead us in a prayer for our North Korean brothers and sisters? And like you say, that peace that only God can transform the lives of the Holy Spirit for those living in such a difficult regime.
Thank you. I'd be delighted to. Father in heaven, Lord, we trust you. You have this world in your hands, and you still call us to engage, to pray, and to do really what the disciples were not able to do for Jesus at Gethsemane, which is to watch and pray and to feel the pain and to not turn away from it. And Father, that's what we choose to do for our brothers and sisters in North Korea. We don't know how many there are now, possibly 100,000, some say more. But we pray for them right now, whether they're in camps or whether they're at home. And we ask you, Prince of Peace, to be present with them, to encourage them. And Father, for that nation, Lord, which was once called the Jerusalem of the East, for Pyongyang, that city where so many Christians used to be and have now gone to the south and have gone elsewhere. Lord, what you started in that nation, Father, we ask you to water and let it spring up again so that there is Christian revival within North Korea. We see remarkable signs in China of your church growing, of your spirit moving. And we ask, Father, that the same thing, those old wells which have been blocked up in North Korea, the old wells of the faith, of a real vibrant, living Christian faith, will be unstopped, and that you will pour out your spirit on that nation again and bring many back to you. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Andrew Boyd from Release International, thank you so much for your time.
And many thanks. It's a pleasure.